around the edge, and Kenneth Gainwell.
Welcome to episode 82 of the Frenemy Sports Podcast. Special episode today. It is the second edition of the Frenemy Sports Honors Awards Show, NFL edition. We're pumped. Before we start here, though, we are going to have how we're going to do things. So essentially, we are going to nominate a person we think is worthy of the award. We will then argue. We will then all text that person we think should win it in the group chat after arguing, and then I will announce the winner. Does that make sense to everyone?
Before we start,
all right,
before we start, hold on.
Let's start.
I would just like to do a quick little soliloquy for our viewers. Never take life for granted. Live in the moment. Things, you never know what's going to happen. Cherish the people you love. And, you know, like Carter always says, enjoy the journey. The journey's a great one. We love you guys. You three, I love you. I love all of you. So, thank you.
Spend your money wisely, folks. Okay, first award here. Offensive Player of the Year. I'm gonna nominate my first person. This is probably my favorite pick. Jalen Hurts for Offensive Player of the Year. He's not going MVP because Mahomes is obviously the number one. But after Mahomes, I think it's, for me, it's easy that Jalen Hurts is the second best offensive player. What he did for his team, running the football, passing the football, this is the best, arguably the best team in football, and he was the quarterback of it. He's the leader of the team. He did so much, and I honestly think he deserves it. So, yeah, I'm going with Jalen Hurts, Offensive Player of the Year.
I'll go next year. Jake, I don't hate that pick. I've been a Hurts fan for a while now, or a year or two. I really like Jalen Hurts. But I think the OPLY should go to Justin Jefferson. He carried the Vikings the entire year. He's absolutely dominant. Led the league in receptions, led the league in receiving yards. He's by far the best playmaker. And the OPLY award's kind of, I would say, flashy in a sense. And I think he's by far the flashiest NFL player. So I think Jefferson deserves this.
Yeah, I think these are two great nominations. I'm going to nominate someone who hasn't been nominated yet, and in my opinion is the third and only other person you can nominate for the Offensive Player of the Year. I'm going to go with Tyreek Hill. He spent his entire career in Kansas City. He's had arguably one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time and one of the best head coaches of all time for his entire career in the NFL. He then gets traded, goes to Miami, has a significantly worse quarterback in Tua, and still goes out and he dominates. He had like three different quarterbacks this year, and he still found a way to make an impact in every game he played. He's one of the very few receivers in the NFL that actually correlates to wins. And because of that, my nomination for the Offensive Player of the Year will be Tyreek Hill.
I'm kind of torn between Jack and Hunter's pick here. I really like both of them. Jake, the only problem I have with yours is if you're saying Patrick Mahomes is the best quarterback in the league, then how can we – if you're saying he is, then how can we not give him Offensive Player of the League or Offensive Player of the Year if we're going to give it to a quarterback? So that's the only problem I have with that. But Jalen Hurts is a fantastic player. I understand that. I think Justin Jefferson had more of an impressive year, but I don't think any player did more for their individual team than Tyreek Hill. But with that being said, I think I'm going to go with Justin Jefferson as my nomination as well. Even though he did have that stretch where he didn't score a lot, he's capable of dominating games like no other receiver in the league at this point in time, in my opinion. I'm going to give it to Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, I'll be honest. I don't think Tyreek Hill is. If we're picking a receiver, I think it's obviously Jefferson over Hill. However, I still think that if we're going off impact and performance combined, I think it's Jalen Hurts. Because this Eagles team was in the gutter after with the whole Carson Wentz and Peterson together. Jalen Hurts comes in under Sirianni. Two playoff runs in a row. Now they made it to the Super Bowl. Justin Jefferson, he gets there. The Vikings were always, they were solid, pretty good. He gets there, and now they're still solid, pretty good, would be my argument.
Jack, what's your argument for Hill over Jefferson? if we went the receiver route.
All right. Well, yeah, I think it's kind of simple. You look at the Vikings. Before Justin Jefferson, they had Stephon Diggs, and they were the exact same team with Justin Jefferson and without him. The Dolphins haven't made the playoffs in years. They add Tyreek Hill. They get to the playoffs their first year with Tyreek Hill, and Tua has the best year of his career by far. Kirk Cousins was fine without Justin Jefferson. Case Keenum went to an NFL championship without Justin Jefferson. Case Keenum. So I don't think it's the biggest deal in the world. I think Tyreek Hill proves he actually equates to wins. I don't think Justin Jefferson does. I think Justin Jefferson's a special receiver. I think he's the best in the NFL. But just purely impact, purely performance-based, that gets my vote to Tyreek Hill. Because I think he equates to more wins than Justin Jefferson does.
Yeah, I don't hate that argument. I just feel like when you're putting him up pound for pound, player for player, it's hard not to pick Jefferson for this, in my opinion. But I don't hate the other two either. I'd be okay with Hurts or Tyreek winning as well.
My issue with Hill is he's second interception, second in yards. Jefferson is first in both those categories. So basically, they're very similar, but Jefferson is still slightly better than Hill. Both teams made the playoffs. Both teams lost in the first round. So I think you have to take the difference in stats because they don't really have anything else to separate those two. So if I had to pick between the two, I'd pick Jefferson. All right, and then we're going to cut it off there. Send your picks into the group chat, and then we will announce the winner for Offensive Player of the Year. All right. For the second annual Frenemy Sports Awards ceremony, Offensive Player of the Year for 2023 is Justin Jefferson. Sorry, Jackie, you did not.
Way to struggle.
Did not gain the boost there.
The enthusiasm from the necks right there are just amazing.
All right. Next award here. Let's go to DPOY, Defensive Player of the Year. There's essentially two candidates. Jackson, you nominate your candidate first.
Yeah. There's two candidates for DPOY. It's Micah Parsons. It's Nick Bosa. And I'm going to pick Nick Bosa. And I'll pick Nick Bosa for a few reasons. A, he has the most sacks in the NFL. He had more sacks than Micah Parsons, more QB hits, more pressures. And then secondly, he is the best player on the best defense in the NFL. I think that speaks volumes. It says a lot about Nick Bosa. And then third, this is just to take away from Micah Parsons. He plays for the Cowboys. You know, we're not a perfect award show. We're not a perfect podcast. I think it's very fair and legitimate to take points away from a player because of the team he plays for. And that's what I'm going to do to Micah Parsons because I hate the Cowboys. So my nomination for DPOY will be Nick Bosa.
Yeah.
I'm going to go real quick. Wait, Hunter. I'm going to go real quick just because this is going to be very short. The stars have aligned. The moons and suns have collided. I agree with Jackson, every word he said. So I'm taking Nick Bosa as well.
The answer is Bosa. And I see how you kind of can have an argument for Parsons a little bit, but Bosa's the best player on the best defense. Led the NFL in sacks, like Jack said. Led the NFL in QB hits. He was second tackles for loss. I mean, he dominated this entire year.
Yeah, I'm going to switch up for you guys here. This is not just so we don't have a consensus. I actually had this written down before we did, disclosed our picks. I'm going to go Parsons here. I do agree that Nick Bosa and that defense, what he does, is incredible. It's amazing. I just think Micah does more and has a bigger impact on the Cowboys defense. Because I think if you take Micah off the Cowboys defense, I think it's middle of the pack. I think if you take Bosa off that 49ers defense, replace him with an average D end, I still think they're top five. And for that reason, I'm going to nominate Micah Parsons, despite my also hatred for the Dallas Cowboys, especially their fan base.
Yeah, I don't hate that. You can go with either one, but I just think Nick Bosa had the slightly better year, even though Parsons has probably had a better career to this point. But I'm gonna take Bosa.
Better career? What are you talking about?
I mean, he has.
No, he hasn't.
For how much he has played, yes, he has.
No, 100%. He has not.
he is on track to be better than Nick Bosa, 100%.
He's like a year behind Nick Bosa, and Bosa's better in like every like major statistical category.
If you're asking people who would they rather have for the next 5 years,
Nick Bosa.
I guarantee eight out of no.
Okay. I just want to disagree. I would take Mike over Nick Bosa.
Yeah, but you, Carter, you just said he's having a better career up to this point. That's not true.
I guess
year
you could,
to year.
You would say it's a better trajectory. He may have a better trajectory, but I don't think he has a better career.
That's
than
fine.
Bosa.
You can.
Overall career. No. If they're both their career stopped today, Nick Bosa would have to be the better player. But what he's on track to be, Micah Parsons.
So we're gonna do this off projections.
What Micah Parsons' body of work has shown is that he is going to be probably an all-time great.
But Nick Bosa is not.
No, Nick Bosa is, but Micah Parsons is better, significantly better.
Then why would you nominate Nick Bosa if Micah Parsons is significantly
Nick
better?
Nick Bosa had a better year.
But you just said Micah Parsons is better.
Yes, I think Micah Parsons is going to be better. This is not that hard, Jack. This
elementary. Because you keep using different words for each of your sentences.
Parsons, based on what he's done in his career, looks like he's going to be a better all-time player than Nick Bosa. But Nick Bosa right now is a better player than at a better year, at least, than Micah Parsons, in my estimation.
Jake, count I can't listen to this. Count in the notes.
Okay. All right, send in the votes here. Okay, yeah, that was pretty quick. All right, your 2023 Frenemy Sports Honors Award winner for Defense Player of the Year, Nick Bosa. Yeah, I think that's pretty expected. I don't see a way where he doesn't win that award in real life as well. Okay, let's move to Offensive Rookie of the Year. I think this could get really interesting. Hunter, you can go first in this one to nominating your person.
Yeah, I'll go first here. One of my favorite players in college, Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson deserves OROI. He was thrown into an offense with four absolute dog shit quarterbacks, being Zach Wilson, Joe Flacco, Mike White, and Chris Streveler. And he still managed to put up 83 catches for 1,103. I mean, 1,100 yards in a rookie season with those four quarterbacks, you can't ask for much more as Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, you know, I was checking you out.
All right. I don't hate that pick at all. That's actually my second place. But I'm going to go with his college team. I'm going to go with Chris Olave. I just think he was slightly more consistent. And just had some solid games, so I'm going to take him. I mean, I could have been really – what my heart and my balls want me to do here is nominate George Pickens, but I won't because I have some sort of respect for everyone else's feelings. As I know I'm completely and utterly on the island of enjoying his gameplay, but I'm going to take Chris Olave. That's going to be my nomination.
Jason, you made a face.
Yeah, Carter, if you used
– I said you
– I mean, I love Chris Olave. He's one of my favorite receivers of all time. I think it's kind of ludicrous to, you know, mark him as your offensive rookie of the year in comparison to all the other great rookies. I'm going to nominate someone who hasn't been nominated yet. And no, it's not Brock Purdy. I'm going to go with someone I think everyone's forgetting right now because, you know, he didn't really get to play in the postseason except for a game. I'm going to go with Kenneth Walker, rookie running back out of Michigan State. He got thrown into a Seattle Seahawks offense. That team was projected to finish last in the NFL and have the first overall pick. They throw Walker in, and Kenneth Walker started producing like a top 10 running back instantly. He had a phenomenal year. He looked great. He was a big reason the Seahawks picked up a lot of wins down the line. He made Geno Smith's job much easier. I think it was just a phenomenal pick by the Seahawks to get that kid in the second round. He looks like he's going to be a great running back for the next 4, 5, 6 years. I don't have enough good things to say about him. My nomination
is
Kenneth that. Walker.
Well,
thank you. I appreciate that. I love your pick. Like, I thought it was really good, too. Garrett Wilson was my two, and I could have gone either way. I would have been really upset if if Kenneth Walker didn't get at least nominated, because I feel like he deserves to be up on the stage with all the other great rookies at the Frenemies Honors Award Show.
Yeah, we're going to have four people on this platform right now, because I'm nominating Brock Purdy. I've gone back and forth on this, but ultimately, for my Offensive Rookie of the Year, I feel like him and Walker are essentially the same. They both really didn't get a role in the offense until later in the season. But I think Purdy did better in that role than Walker did. Carter's pick, I completely disagree with, so I'm just not even going to touch that. Olave was not the – I just don't think he's in the same category as Wilson. It's between Purdy and Wilson, and I think Purdy had a bigger impact and did more with his time and just had great stats and led a team to the playoffs undefeated. So I'm going Brock Purdy, and now we have four candidates. Can we all agree that we all hate Carter's pick?
Yeah, can we get Chris Olave out of here?
Okay. Yeah, no, I agree. Chris, you're gone.
Okay, no, that's fine. But I just have one statement to make. I was watching The Herd the other day, which is not my favorite show to watch, but it was on, and they were doing their blind comparisons, and Brock Purdy wasn't as good as Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yes, but Jimmy Garoppolo is not a rookie. Thank you, Carter.
I know. I'm just saying, when Jake talks about impact to teams, I think Kenneth Walker and Garrett Wilson had a larger impact than Brock Purdy. I think if you put any average quarterback in the 49ers system with the talent and the defense around him, I think they did have the same amount of impact, if you're going to argue impact. Now, it was impressive what Brock Purdy did as a rookie, absolutely. But, I mean, there were flashes of, like, especially from Kenneth Walker, who I followed in pretty extensively due to him being on all my fantasy rosters that I had. He had flashes of just absolutely carrying that Seattle offense, especially down the stretch. So I really like that pick as well. But that's the only reason I lean towards the other two ahead of Brock Purdy.
So Hunter, okay. So then, it looks like at this point, then it'd be two for Walker, one for Wilson, unless Jake, you can get Hunter on the Purdy train, or Hunter, you can get Jake on the Wilson train.
I am willing to join the Wilson train. I would just like to say that my person's the only one that has a nickname. Big Blank Brock. So I'm going to say. Hunter, I want to throw Brock Purdy out there because I think he deserved to be mentioned in this category. But if you're looking, whole season, Garrett Wilson's been given the business since week one. So for full 18 game weeks, Hunter, I will join the Garrett Wilson train.
I think the thing with Wilson is, like Jake said, since week one, I think Walker joined in. Not that it was too late, because, like, he joined in only a couple weeks in the season. He dominated, but he wasn't starting right out of the gate. He wasn't RB1 right out of the gate. That was that job belonged to Rashad Penny. And without the Penny injury, I just don't know if we see Walker where he's at now. And I think Wilson, he, there's nothing that stopped Wilson from dominating, if that makes sense. Like, Penny had to get hurt for Walker to dominate. Wilson just went out with four absolute shit cans and put up numbers as a rookie. So I don't know if I'm persuaded, but I'm willing to go either Walker or Wilson. I think it's one of those two.
Jake, where are you at right now?
I'm on the Wilson train.
Carter, where are you at?
Not gonna lie, normally Hunter's words just kind of like that sort of made sense. I'm kind of in the middle of these two. I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't really hate either pick.
For this argument to be over, I'm willing to go Kenneth Walker for us to move on.
But
see, that's not the point of this award show. We're supposed to be convincing here.
No.
We're just going to lay down because we're tired.
All right. I've been convinced. I think I'm going to leave. I do think the point of just looking at out of nowhere, which I'm sure his name will be brought up later, at least will be by me, Geno Smith was significantly better than any other quarterback in the Jets roster this year, unfortunately, because I thought Zach Wilson was going to be good. I fell into the trap. So I'm willing to take Garrett Wilson.
All right. I don't think – actually, no, we're still going to do it anyway. Everyone send the text in for your vote. Okay. Your 2023 Offensive Rookie of the Year, the Frenemy Sports Honors Award Show. It is Garrett Wilson.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Go Bucks. Okay. I think this one is going to be quick and easy. Defensive Rookie of the Year. I'm going to let Jackson go first on this one, and then I would like to go last because I would like to say something.
Yeah. Thank you. I predicted this before the season started. This was easily my favorite defensive player in the draft by a lot. I said he'd be better than Stingley. I said he'd be better than Hutchinson. And per usual, I was right. My Defensive Rookie of the Year nomination for the Frenemies Honors, Sauce Gardner, had an unbelievable year. Played phenomenal in that Robert Saleh defense. He was fantastic. One of the best pass breakup rates in the NFL. Quarterback's pass ratings when targeted him, terrible. He was about as good as you can be for a rookie cornerback, and I think he's going to be in the league for a very, very long time. And everyone always said, he played at Cincinnati. He didn't play real competition. He's not going to be good in the NFL. All those people were wrong. Gardner had as good as a rookie campaign for a rookie cornerback as you could have, and I couldn't be prouder of him. My nomination, Sauce Gardner.
In my opinion, there is no nomination. It's Sauce Gardner. I was on the Sauce Gardner train with Jack as well. I mean, he was just dominant. In my estimation, he's in the 4-7 range of cornerbacks in the league right now already as a rookie. I think the Jets may have found another Revis Island potentially. So he's not long. There yet, obviously, as a rookie, but I think he has the potential to be. Name 7 cornerbacks that are better than him right now. You can't.
There's no way he's a top 4-7 corner. Like, there's just no way that's correct. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
You can't name 7. You can't name 7 corners that were better.
I easily could. I know I could because he's probably closer to the 15 range.
Look it up. 7. We'll let Jake go. We'll let Jake go, and you can look it up.
Wait, can I go real quick?
Okay.
I will be nominated.
Yes, Hunter, go ahead.
I won for this award.
What?
What did you say?
No one?
Are you just voting present? Okay. I think me and Hunter are seeing this very similarly. Going back to last year, we hated on Cincinnati because they were a fraud football team, and he was one of the fraudulent players on that fraudulent football team. He's going to be this year's Trent Richardson. He is a one-hit wonder, and because of that reason, I'm nominating Aiden Hutchinson for my Defensive Rookie of the Year. I think Aiden plays a more important position. He got a couple of fumbles, couple of picks, a lot of tackles for loss, a lot of sacks. That defense was horrible, but he was able to lead them. I'm nominating Aiden Hutchinson out of spite.
We're better than this.
Jake, Carter, stop talking. Jake,
we are so much better than this.
Carter, stop. Jake, let me talk to you. Man to man right here, okay? Are you listening?
I'm here.
I have a lot of respect for you, okay?
For me, I have a lot of respect for you as well.
Thank you. I think you get a lot of things right. And I think when you do, I think you're humble about it when you need to be humble, and I think you have your cocky moments when you deserve to be cocky. I do. Jake, can you just be a man here and admit that Sauce Gardner is the best rookie in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball? Because he is. He is. This will be a fraudulent award show we gave to Tariq Gardner.
Look.
It's not even close.
Tariq Woolley is the third best player.
I would be willing to vote for Tariq Woolley.
He's close.
Jay, no, I like
what do you like Sauce?
Okay. Here's what I'm going to say. I will not publicly say that I am voting for Sauce Gardner. However, if we go to a vote, There's a gut feeling that tells me he still may win. However, I will not be nominating
Jake
him.
Hey,
or
Carter,
support
Carter,
his nomination.
Carter. Under any circumstance, you're not changing from Gardner, right?
No.
I'm not either. I'm not. So right now, that's two.
Jake
that's
and
Greg
I
Locke.
Think we'll be voting as present. I do not want to be a part of this, and I do not want to be participating in it.
I agree.
Why?
I will
Why
also
is it
be
so
using
hard
my vote
that he's good? Why is it so hard?
It's kind of similar to like when the Bengals owner decided that he was going to say that Joe Burrow is the father of Patrick Mahomes and that it was Burrowhead. Just like the arrogance coming from him is the same arrogance we get from Sauce. Just take it down a level, Sauce. Jess, you're very good.
Hold on. What arrogance are you seeing from Gardner?
Were you a fan of Richard Sherman, Jake Hunter?
No.
He's solid.
He talked more shit than
Sauce.
Look, Jackson, let me speak your language. Jack, it's more of a feeling thing.
And he absolutely put the clamps on everyone in the league.
You know what, Jake, I can respect that. I can respect that. Because sometimes it doesn't feel like he did.
Hunter, I hope you're researching 5 to 7 corners that were better than Sauce this year.
All right.
No, I think we need to have this discussion. Carter,
as someone that said pre-draft that I had Gardner as my best defensive player and Gardner as my nomination for Defensive Rookie of the Year, to put Gardner in the 4 to 7 range right now is so just disrespectful.
Who is better?
And ridiculous.
I need names then.
All right, J.C. Jackson, Jalen Ramsey, Xavier Howard, Aiden Burrell, Matt Surtain, Jair
Peterson.
Alexander, Denzel Ward, Kadarius White, Marlon Humphrey. Oh, I'd probably take – I said Denzel Ward.
I'll give you Jair Alexander.
J.C. Jackson.
Statistically, Jalen Ramsey wasn't better than
– Yes, he was. This year he was. Yes, he was.
Tre'Davious White.
No, he wasn't.
Denzel Ward.
J.C. Jackson.
Jair.
He wasn't –
No,
Sauce was better
Patrick
than Denzel this year.
Patrick Surtain.
No, he was not.
Patrick Surtain.
Do you want to bet?
AJ
Terrell easily wins.
All right. I will be bringing this when we do our Super Bowl episode. We're going to do another episode around that time, and I will be bringing this argument. I'll
okay.
be running through a presentation.
Because he's not even top 10. No, he's not even, he might probably not even top 10.
All right.
Oh, my God.
Sorry to butt in here, but the time has run out on the discussion. We need to vote now. Please send your votes into the group chat, and we will announce a winner. All right, your 2023 Defensive Rookie of the Year for the Frenemy Sports Honors Award Show is Sauce Gardner.
That's fantastic. Nobody deserves that award more. Carter, thank you for fighting through that with me. Getting that award for Sauce, it was like Kevin McCarthy winning the Wayne Speaker of the House. You know, there are a lot of idiots that didn't want him, but we fought through it. We got the right guy in there. Good for Sauce. Sauce earned it.
My
best
God.
Defensive player in the draft.
Oh my God.
Can't be happier.
Okay, we're not going to announce who we voted for because that is illegal because there are secret votes. However, I would just like to say I did not vote for Sauce Gardner. So just so people are aware.
I also did not.
I also don't think – I'm not going to speak for Hunter, but –
Me and Jake had very similar wavelengths.
By default, which is his whole career. He wins by default.
No, his whole career he wins by default?
Okay, let's move on here. Okay. Next up here, the comeback player of the year. Carter, you were talking about this man before, so I think I know your nomination. Take it away.
The answer is Geno Smith, guys. What he was able to do, I don't think I've ever seen before. I don't know if there's ever been a quarterback that's done that. I mean, he was horrible. Like horrible, horrible. And then all of a sudden he wasn't even great this year. He was just good. And he threw for more yards than Russell Wilson ever could. Ever did, I guess I should say. It's just bizarre. And it was just unbelievable to watch. And he's 100% the comeback player of the year. And I think that he can sort of let Seattle build around, not around him, but not to win a Super Bowl, to build around him and get a bunch of young pieces, go all in on that quarterback, hopefully get it right, and have another like Super Bowl window 4 to 5 years like they did with the Legion of Boom. I think that's the quarterback that could, like sort of like a, oh, I forget his last name, Matt Hasselback, one of those two. I suck with names. Sorry about that, guys. But I'm pretty sure Matt Castle's an MAA guy. Maybe, never mind. That's Sam Castle. I'm going to stop with names.
It's Hasselback.
It's Hasselback? Okay.
Sam Castle's an NBA player. Sam Cassell.
Okay. The point being is his resurrection from a bottom three worst quarterback to mediocre means that he's my pick.
And here's the thing, too.
I'll reverberate everything Carter said. Sorry, Hunter, real quick. I'm just Geno Smith, my nomination. Very, very easily. I'm going to take Geno Smith.
He's mine as well. But here's the thing. Geno Smith will become next year the same shit can quarterback he was the past 10 years. Like, I guarantee you he goes back to such irrelevancy. Like, this was his 1 year. Like, I don't think he will do anything else the rest of his career. In saying that, he's a great dude. This was a great story. I hope he succeeds. He won't, but I hope he succeeds. And he deserves to come back later here.
I don't think he will regress that much. I think he'll definitely regress. I think in a couple of years, he'll be back to being a backup. But he's had his year of fame. So good for him, because like you said, he is a good dude. And that's also my nomination, which is I believe that is a sweep for Geno Smith. No need for vote. Let's get into it. Your 2023 Comeback Player of the Year, well deserved. The Freddie Me Sports Award or Honors Award Show. It's Geno Smith. Well deserved. Okay. I think this is gonna be my favorite one, except for of course the Freddie Me's Man of the Year and Failure of the Year, Coach of the Year here. I'll nominate mine first. Similar to what my explanation for why Jalen Hurts deserves to win, I think Nick Sirianni is the coach of the year. He gets there his first year, takes an Eagles team that should not have been in the playoffs, somehow gets him in, losing the first round, comes back this year, best record in football, one of the best offensive, best defenses. I think they were the best rushing team in terms of overall rushing yards. Jalen Hurts looked fantastic. A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, they all looked wonderful. Just his attitude, he encompasses Philly as a whole. For me, my coach of the year, Nick Sirianni.
Yeah, Jake. This one's so easily Brian Daboll to me. I've been a Giants fan all year. I've liked the Giants all year. And I've rode Daboll's coattails to the very end. He made Daniel Jones a viable quarterback. Like, people like me and Jackson are talking about how Daniel Jones is better than Trevor Lawrence. And a lot of that has to do with the man, Brian Daboll. He has carried this Giants team the entire year. This is not a Giants team that should have been in the divisional, and they were. The New York Giants' future is extremely bright, and I think the coach of the year is easily right now Brian Daboll.
In my opinion, Hunter and Jake, I think those are really the only two main contenders for coach of the year. I think you can throw like Doug Peterson in there. I think he did a good job. But I think the main two contenders are Sirianni and Daboll. With that said, my coach of the year nomination is Andy Reid. I think over the last 5 years in Kansas City, you know, he's been just sensational. He's been in the AFC Championship the last five seasons. He's always a winner. He wins every year, and he never gets credit for it because it's consistency. He wins every year, so people don't really care, okay? And with that said, I'm not even saying I'm going to vote for Andy Reid. I just think he deserves to be at this award show. He deserves to get called on stage, get his cheeseburger from the buffet. He always wins, and he never gets any credit for it. He's a guru. Kelsey says it himself on him and his brother's podcast. I think Patrick Mahomes is going to go down as one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. I'm not sure if Patrick Mahomes is as good without Andy Reid. I don't think Kelsey's as good without Andy Reid. I don't think Tyreek Hill has the career he has without Andy Reid. I think Andy Reid is one of the greatest offensive masterminds in the history of the sport. I think he's brilliant, and I think he deserves a nomination tonight.
Jack, I agree with you that Andy Reid is one of the most criminally underrated people that is in the NFL surrounding the game. However, it's really hard for me to put him as the coach of the year when he has a top five tight end all time and probably the most talented quarterback we've ever seen. That's the only issue with having him put this year. My personal top three were Dable, Sirianni, and Carroll. And the separator for me, and the reason I would be going with Brian Dable, is because the quarterback play. Jalen Hurts is a very good quarterback. Geno Smith was very above average this year. Just in my opinion, Daniel Jones is horrible. But like from what I've watched of Daniel Jones, he's just horrible. And the fact that the Giants somehow made it to the playoffs with him as the quarterback, and that two very intelligent people who watch a lot of football can somehow like make the assumption that he could possibly be better than Trevor Lawrence just blows my mind. And I can only credit that to Brian Dable's coaching. So I will be joining Hunter on the Brian Dable train. I think he should be
Jack,
coach of
what
the
I'd like
year.
to convince you, I think Coach of the Year is what can you do with less? And I think Dable exceeded his expectation by an astronomical amount, in my opinion. I think the Eagles team overall is much better than the New York Giants football team. And I think what Brian Dable did is exceptional when it comes to talent wise.
Yeah, Hunter, I love that argument. One of the big reasons why, I think Daniel Jones is comparable to Trevor Lawrence is because Daniel Jones has a lot less than Trevor Lawrence on the offensive side of the ball.
Wrong.
That's not wrong, and you know it.
Wrong.
He's got one of the worst receiving corps in the NFL.
Saquon.
Okay, he has a running back. He has a quarterback still have to throw the
Elite
football.
running back.
You
And
still have
pretty
to
solid
throw the football.
receivers.
Okay,
Oh,
that's
and
true.
Zay Jones is so
That's
amazing
not
for the
true.
Jaguars. And
He's got Christian Kirk,
he
one of the
yeah,
best top 10.
was the third he was the third string receiver in Arizona last year. Shut your mouth.
Hold on. Did I just hear that Christian Kirk is a top 10 receiver?
He's right at 10.
You're a professional idiot with that take. That's
No,
horrible.
see, that's not what we're doing.
A lot of people would agree with it too.
Nope,
Yeah,
I'm leaving.
good. It's better without
That's
you.
ludicrous. That's actually unbelievable.
Yeah, look, Daniel Jones has much less to work with than Trevor Lawrence. So these two idiots won't admit it. And Hunter, you're completely right. Brian Dable had much less than Sirianni had Jalen Hurts, one of the best offensive lines in the league. Miles Sanders, a good running back, revamped, and a great defense. But I'm ready to vote.
Yeah, you took way too much time, Jackson. I was trying to get a statement in here quick. If your argument for Brian Dable is I did more with less, then the winner should be Doug Peterson, if that's your definition. Also, this Giants team again was 9-7-1. The Eagles, I believe, are what, 14-3? And that was only because they didn't play any of their players the last round. I'm not switching my vote. I think it's quite obvious it's Nick Sirianni.
The Eagles are phenomenally better than the G-men, though. I just can't believe that we just
Well,
called
that's
Christian
largely
Kirk a
because of
top
Nick
10 wide
Sirianni.
receiver.
This Eagles team
I
with
think.
Deeks. Sorry, go on.
No, I think Sirianni's brilliant. Like, I think it's like a coin flip. You can pick either of these guys to be your coach of the year. But the Eagles have won a Super Bowl in like the last 6 years. The Giants hadn't been to the playoffs in the last 6 years. So it was a massive turnaround in New York. And then to win a playoff game, too.
Yeah, but you would say the same thing about the Eagles after the Super Bowl run. A lot of those players are no longer there. They had fired their coach. Wentz went out the way. A lot of people didn't think Jalen Hurts even going to be the guy. They thought they were going to go quarterback in next year's draft. And then Nick Sirianni built Jalen Hurts back into now an elite quarterback. Okay, I know that Daniel Jones was much better than he was last year, but it's not like Daniel Jones was just god awful beforehand. So I think it's Nick Sirianni.
No, he was god awful beforehand. He was bottom five in the league, in my opinion. So that's why I'm taking Dable. And that's why I think everyone should take Dable. But that's just my opinion.
What happens, Jake? What happens if we have a tie? You're the host. What's the rule?
We will open another minute of debates, and then we're going to hope someone switches. Okay. Or we can get into some dictatorial rules that are under my my rule book, which can be in place if there is a tie.
Okay.
All right. Everyone send their first round of votes in, and then we'll see if we have a winner. We do not have a winner. It is a tie. We are going into another minute. Hunter and Carter, you argue for stable, and then me and I will explain why I think Sirianni should win it, as well as Jack.
So, Jack, I want to ask you why. Like, why do you think Sirianni is better?
Well, Hunter, you know, I'm very, very torn. It's very close for me. But the Eagles, they did go 14-3 in a really good division. Jalen Hurts played at an MVP caliber level. It was the best rushing offense in the NFL. And you have to credit a lot. Sirianni's play calling is brilliant. I mean, to go 14-3, he has the entire city of Philadelphia bought into him. That entire team believes in Nick Sirianni. And it's, in my opinion, it's the best offense in the NFL. They have not had an issue with a single team. And then when Jalen Hurts went down and you had Gardner Minshew, which I still believe Gardner Minshew is a starting caliber quarterback in the NFL, they still put up 34 against one of the best defenses in the NFL. So the offensive system, it works so well.
I understand that.
Here's why I'm a big advocate for
Daniel. I think when you're talking about expectation, not many people had the Giants where they were going to be at. I think some people had the Eagles where they were at right now. Not many people at all had the Giants where they finished at, in my opinion.
That's just wrong. No one predicted the Eagles 14 wins top of the NFC.
What is wrong? What is not wrong though is if you look at the Giants and Eagles roster, the Giants are maybe better in three positions. I mean, Saquon. The Eagles O-line better. Eagles wide receivers are better. Eagles quarterback is better. Eagles tight end's better. And the defensive side of the football, it's the same thing. Eagles defense is amazing this year, which is in partial credit to the coaching. But I'm sorry, just a Daniel Jones-led football team is not a 9-win football team without a great coach. And with no weapons, with no real weapons. There's no A.J. Brown. There's not even a Devontae Smith that the Giants have. That's my biggest thing. Otherwise, I think their winner is Sirianni.
Here's my argument right here, and this is what I think you should really just really look at here. Hunter's main argument is expectation. The Giants win total going into the year was 7.5. They won 9. The Eagles was 9.5. They won 14. So we're going over expectations. The Philadelphia Eagles did more for 1.5 expectations. And then furthermore, in the two games that these two coaches face each other, because they're in the same division, Sirianni went 2-0.
Okay, I'll say this. Though. This was Dable's first year as a head coach as well. Sirianni.
But I don't think he should get more credit just because it's his first year.
He knows the team longer, and the Eagles were expected to make a playoff push this year. I don't think hardly anyone expected the Giants to make a playoff push. Hardly. And the fact that they went to the divisional and beat the number one or one of the top teams that was undefeated the longest in the Minnesota Vikings and knocked them out in the first round with Dable as a first-year head coach.
I don't know. I don't like the argue using that's his first year. I don't think that should be relevant towards, like, I don't, it's like in terms of expectation wise. But, like, that's the only reason why Dable would win. But, like, for me, the expectations were even because no one expected Philly to be in the Super Bowl right now, and that's where they're at. Or win 14 games the regular season.
Let me ask you this. Who's the most average coach in the NFL? Whoever just came to mind, Make him coach both the teams with the same exact staff. Who wins that game?
Carter, I don't like your question. I don't see how it's relevant.
I'm just saying the Eagles roster is so significantly better than the Giants that I just don't see a scenario where I can pick the Eagles, even though Sirianni is a very good coach. And does he deserve to win it? Yes. I just think Dable deserves it just a tad bit more just because he was just so, so, so elite this year and I think out-coaching what his ceiling of his team was. Like, I would have been willing to put maybe $500 that Daniel Jones doesn't make the playoffs and win a playoff game ever in his career, much less this year with the lack of weapons that Daniel Jones has. Not named Saquon. That's the breaking point for me where the scales tip to David.
I don't know, man. I don't see a way where we can put a coach who went 0-2 against another coach and 1-1-14, 1-1-9. I don't know how you make an explanation. It's like that makes zero sense to me.
Okay, yeah, but like, I'm sure the Warriors went. Let's say the Warriors go 2-0 against the Knicks when Tom Thibodeau won Coach of the Year. Does that mean that Steve Kerr should win over Tom Thibodeau?
Say that again.
If we compare it to the NBA, that's like saying if the Warriors beat the Knicks, we should give the coach of the and Steve Kerr and Tom Thibodeau are up for the coach of the year. Should we give it to Steve Kerr over Tom Thibodeau?
Well, no, I think you have to take into account expectations. And I think you're overestimating the expectation of the Eagles this year. The Eagles are meant to finish second division behind the Cowboys, maybe win a playoff game, maybe, and that was the ceiling.
Look at the roster.
And Nick Sirianni made this team into a powerhouse and not only won games, blew out teams.
I got my vote. Go to votes.
All right, let's go to votes here. Your 2023 Frenemies Sports Awards. Honors awards for Coach of the Year,
as it should.
It's Brian Dable. Yeah, I don't support that at all. He would not have been my top two.
Jake, you've been horrible tonight. And normally, no. I don't say that about you.
If we're going top, my top three would have been Nick Sirianni, Andy Reid, and then it would have been Doug Peterson. Brian Dable at fourth. Okay. Oh, we're also just going to mention that the Giants barely beat anyone of any good value as well. But okay, let's move on. I guess it doesn't matter. We just nominated a very, just pretty good head coach, not a great one, but sure, that's fine. All right. Let's get to our top three awards here. Let's start out with the last one that's not Frenemies sponsored. Let's go to our MVP. For me, it's quite clear. I'm going to start Patrick Mahomes. I don't really have much more of an explanation. It's Patrick Mahomes.
It's not even close this year, in my opinion.
I will also be nominating Patrick Mahomes.
It's not even close. It's Patrick Mahomes.
Okay. Hayes, dim the lights. Here we go. The people have voted. We are giving the MVP for the 2023 Frenemies Sports Honors Award for MVP is Patrick Mahomes.
That is a great season.
Okay, here we go. It's the one we've all been waiting for. Frenemies Man of the Year. It's one of our two Frenemy Sports Awards that we give out. Hunter Smith, lead us off. Who is your Frenemy's Man of the Year?
I don't know if I'm pronouncing this right. I don't know. Someone fact check me on this real quick, but Danny Etlington, I believe. And this is the Buffalo Bills trainer that saved a man's life on the field. You know, he is by far the man of the year. He literally saved a man. And when thinking about man of the year, no one else in the NFL saved a man. So in my opinion, Jacob, look him up real quick. I just don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but it is him.
Hunter Smith, I didn't know you had it in you. I didn't know you could see the world in such a perspective through other people and the well-being of other people. Because normally, I'm not going to lie, I don't really like you, especially on this podcast. But I 100% agree. It is that man. What he was able to do to save another man's life was just truly heroic. I don't see another scenario where anyone else could win it. Robert Hunt is going to get company with this man, if I have any say. Just a brilliant job well done. 100% deserves it. That's my vote as well.
So who are you going to vote now?
Okay.
Who's better than him?
Okay. Obviously, Hunter's pick was honestly perfect. You know, he is the man of the year. He saved a life. However, I'm going to give mine, which I originally put down before that because I did not think of him. Hunter, great thought. I'm going to go James Strohs from TikTok. What happened, Bengals? What happened? He brought so much joy into all of our lives when a team would lose. Seeing his face, seeing his reactions.
I'll admit him.
It made my year.
I'll admit it.
He's my man of the year.
I thought he was a little overrated.
You're a sad, pathetic little man. Anyone that doesn't enjoy
him just
doesn't
enjoy life. I actually blocked him on TikTok. He made me so annoyed.
I mean,
Jackson, yeah, go to you. That's absurd.
I'm speechless. I think these are two phenomenal nominees. I love the James Strohs pick. I'm almost inclined to vote for him. I think James Strohs is one of the best things to happen to social media ever. I think he's fantastic. That said, my man of the year last year was actually two men. It's Peyton and Eli. The Manning cast, I thought the Manning cast was one of the best things to ever be added to the NFL. I thought it was phenomenal. I didn't have to hear these same old primetime announcers every Thursday night or every Monday night. Because back then it was Tessitore and Booger, and they sucked. And so we got the Mannings. This year, though, we had a new man kind of take over as the face of unique broadcasting when it comes to football. And for me, my man of the year, give me Pat McAfee. He has the best podcast in sports right now. He's the most electric man in the world. And then on top of that, he interviewed Aaron Rodgers every Tuesday, and we got to hear what Aaron Rodgers actually thought, which Aaron Rodgers is an extremely interesting guy. So to hear his real thoughts from a guy like Pat McAfee, I thought it was sensational. My nomination, give me Pat McAfee.
Man, yeah, I think three great people were nominated here. I would be inclined to vote for any of these three, but I'm going to stick to mine. James Strohs, I think the impact he had on sports society this year, we built this award for people like him to have that impact on sports. My man of the year is James Strohs.
Yeah, you vote against the doctor that saved the man's life. You go to bed.
Man who literally said two words. And nothing else.
And he transformed those two words into a brand.
Wow, what has happened to you, Jake?
Hold on.
Non-money guy to the money brand guy while someone else is saving lives. It's horrible.
Did I not say it was a perfect pick from Hunter? I'm just saying that my man of the year, when I wrote this down,
your man of the year made money. Our man of the year did his job to utter perfection in the most pressurized moment for any health in the NFL. Like I don't think you guys understand. If Damar Hamlin does not live, we might not even be having an NFL season right now. I'm not kidding you.
Okay, Roger Goodell is still in charge. I guarantee you they don't even delay a week.
Can I say something really quick? And I'm just going to preface this by saying that whole staff that saved his life should be given just lifelong praise. They deserve everything in the world. I'm going to preface that with that.
But you're going to take a TikTok.
Jake,
hold
Jake,
on. No.
Jake. I think I know exactly where you're going with this. I think it's going to be seen as wildly unpopular, but I completely agree.
Exactly. So, Hayes, if you're going to release this, just make sure you preface it with that statement. If it wasn't Denny, it would have been someone else, would have been the doc that saved his life.
Oh, my God.
No one else can do what James Droz does on a daily basis.
Oh, my God. Yes, I could do it.
No,
that
you,
is horrible. Carter,
but not as well.
No,
that's the thing. You can't.
Yes. Jake, and, you know, I guarantee you there will be some short-minded people out
question.
There that
no,
don't
I have,
understand
no,
what we're saying.
I have a question.
But
why did he do it so well? Why did he become so famous and popular?
Huh?
I think people are just, they gather around
you
someone
that's
authentic on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do think that's what, I don't know what you're trying to get inclined over there with a little smirk on your face, but no, it's his brand on TikTok. It's how he gives his message, and I think it's someone that everyone can support. TikTok tried to ban him. He said, no, I'm coming back. He got all the supporters back. James Droz, easily.
And Hunter, and let me say this, and to all the short-minded people out there who are not going to understand where this is coming from, the doctor that saved Damar Hamlin is a hero, and we need people like him in this world. Okay, he is a hero. Stop. Hold on. Carter, shut up. I didn't interrupt you during all your idiotic takes. You're going to shut up and you're going to listen, okay? I didn't interrupt. I didn't say a word during your little soliloquy when we all fell asleep, okay? Look, the doctor's a hero. The doctor's a hero. The doctor's a hero. Let me rephrase that one more time. The doctor is a hero, but it's also his job. That's what he gets paid to do. He is CPR certified, he's paid to be CPR certified, and he's paid for, if something like that happens, to go onto the field and administer CPR. He himself said he was not a hero. I completely disagree with him. He is a hero, but that's his job. It's what he gets paid to do. James Droz, on the other hand, he found a niche. He found something that just the sports community needed. Okay, it's something the sports community needed, and it's something it didn't have. And he created a monstrous brand. And every single primetime game where an annoying team lost, everyone went to TikTok and they saw James Droz. And
I legit don't think I watched more than 6 seconds of that man's video without getting annoyed.
They only last 6 seconds. Now you still have an attention span that can go that far.
Let me just. We're not
in my opinion, he was extremely overrated and extremely annoying.
Well, that's shameful. I'm just going to say something really quick. Hold on, Carter. Hold on. I need to say something really quick. The Bills trainer, he deserves an award that's higher than this one. He deserves like a Purple Heart or a higher than award than this Frenemy Sports Award. So I think by giving him this award, it's less than what he deserves. So actually, shame on you. He deserves a higher
award.
He deserves $1 million. He deserves a nice mansion house. He doesn't deserve just a little lowly award from four idiots. No. Shame on you. He deserves more.
As unfortunately, people like you two run the whole shenanigans of awards, and we don't have the money to give him that. So let me just get this straight. We're going to give a guy whose job to administer health aid in all circumstances, who in the most on national television, with a man's life hanging in the balance in front of everyone, administered CPR to get this man to the hospital in time to save his life, probably saving the NFL season and potentially even a lawsuit because there's already a whole bunch of people that think the NFL is just dangerous as it is. But no, we're not giving it to him. We're going to give it to a dude that when we talk about jobs, his literal job is to say, what happened?
It's not his job. It's not a job. It's a brand now. And Carter, so if we're gonna give it to the doctor,
you will never be able to do what that man on the field did that day. Ever.
Carter, if we're
What does that have to do with anything? That's an irrelevant point. That is an irrelevant point.
The point is we are choosing a man who makes TikTok videos over a human who saved a
Carter.
Life.
That's Carter, his job. That's Carter, his job, Carter.
Carter, do you understand? That's his job. Carter, he deserves a high reward. That trainer doesn't deserve a lowly award. He deserves something higher, something better. And you're really going to make him, like the war he went to save a man's life is the frenemies man of the year. That's really? That's shameful. That is so bad. That is so bad.
So we're going to treat it prestigious. And you want to talk about how low this is, then why do you want to give it to James or whatever his name is? It's just appalling.
James
Drows.
James
Drows. Appalling.
Can I say this?
Appalling.
Carter.
I can't believe it's you too. Normally this man that I'm agreeing with is so anti.
Carter, it's because you're shallow-minded. You don't understand.
Here, Jack. Before you say something, I just want to say one more statement. Jack, will have a statement, and then we're gonna go to a vote. I'm just letting you know right here, right now. James Drows encompasses what this award was meant to be. Okay, that's what I'm going to say. James, he does. He encompasses everything this award, not for the well-known stars or superstars that everyone loves and knows, that knows they're going to get an award. This is for the people that are unappreciated in life. These are people that deserve their flowers. And I'm not saying the Bills doctor doesn't, because he honestly deserves more and better than this. This is James Drows' award. James Jackson, go ahead.
Thanks for the ton of appreciation.
Jackson, go ahead.
All right.
No, that's horrible.
Are we done?
They're done.
Okay. Hey, Carter, you're done. All right, we're going to get to speak, and then you can throw your little tantrum like a little two-year-old, like LeBron James, after he gets a no-call against the Celtics. That's what you look like right now. All right, let me say this. Again, let me reemphasize. Bill's doctor, hero, forever indebted into him. With that said, he really only touched one life, and that was Damar Hamlin's. James Drows has touched 30 million. He has 30. Sorry, that came out like not at all how I wanted it to, but James Drows has 30 million. 30 million likes. On TikTok, 30 million. That's 10% of America. That's unbelievable. And again, the doctors in Buffalo and Cincinnati, heroes beyond measure, and they deserve more than the Man of the Year award. They deserve it all. But James, guys, 30 million.
Hunter, you get one statement, and then Carter gets one statement. 10 seconds long.
Jackson's statement is blatantly wrong.
Carter, you're next. Sorry, Hunter.
Jackson's statement, he just said is legit wrong. Touched one life compared to touching 30 lives. He didn't touch a life, he saved a life. That's a little different. James Drows is a pathetic little individual.
Carter, 10 seconds starting now.
Sucks Baker Mayfield raw, which makes me hate him even more than I do. You guys are making me hate James. You're making me hate him, and it's so frustrating.
Okay, I really don't want to say this, so I'm not going to.
This looks like we are going to a tie. So I'm going to go to a vote and then say we're tied. We're going to go into a secret rule that we have all agreed to previously. You may not know about it, but we all did when we signed our contracts. I will flip a coin on my phone, and then I will announce the winner. All right, here we go. Hayes, dim the lights. Let's do this. You're in 2023. Frenemy Sports honors an award winner for Man of the Year. This is James Drows. Well earned. Well earned.
That's amazing.
So proud of him.
James, we're going to put this on TikTok. If you see this, congratulations. This is an extremely prestigious honor. Nobody deserves this. Well, maybe one person deserves this more than you, but we're extremely honored to, you know, give you this award. This is just fantastic.
You know, Jackson, that smile you had on your face, the same thing I had on mine. It's just, it's so well-earned from his part. Were there other great competitors? Of course. I hope that the Bills doctor gets the highest award he can in life. But good for James Dross. Okay. Gentlemen, should we move on to our final award here?
I think we shall.
All right, our final award, maybe our most well-known, I don't know, Man of the Year is also great for us. Our Frenemies Failure of the Year. Jackson O'Neill, what is your nomination?
Yeah, there's a lot of nominations to go through this year, and I want to say this. This particular award is not going to come close to last year's, because last year we had just an unbelievable group of finalists. If you guys don't remember, John Gruden, you know, was fired as the head coach of the Raiders for saying just some very unspeakable and derogatory things. And then Henry Ruggs was also a member of this nomination, you know, because he killed somebody. With that said, I don't think anyone in the NFL really comes close to that this year. I wish we had this award show during the OJ chase. He easily could have been on there. My failure of the year, I'm going to keep it simple. It's Brandon Staley. I think he's the worst coach in the NFL. I think he's pathetic. I think he's a joke. I think he's had it so easy, and yet he's made life so hard on himself. How you have Justin Herbert for 3 years on a rookie contract and have zero playoff wins, that proves to me you're a bad coach and you shouldn't be back in the NFL. I know there's a lot of better options, better nominations you can throw out there, but I want to make sure Brandon Staley is here for the worst award in sports.
You know, Jackson, I'm going to follow you here. You know, I put a lot of thought into this year, my failure of the year was. It wasn't obvious as last year. I feel like obvious we had a lot of great candidates. I think this year's a bit harder to find one. I'm going to go with Russell Wilson. I think you look at that man, and, you know, he went from a loved quarterback that was underachiever at first and then overachieved over expectations on a great with a great defense, pretty much loved by all. He was genuine. Everyone kind of liked him. And now he's gone to maybe the most hated person in the NFL. The downfall of Russell Wilson has been just dramatic, and it makes sense. Everything he does just makes me want to just claw my eyes out. Nothing now, it doesn't really feel genuine. It feels like everything is forced. Broncos country, let's ride. You got to be kidding me. It's got to stop. Him doing high knees on the plane ride to the London so he can be stretched and be ready to play. I honestly don't have a lot of words. Like I have no nice words for Russell Wilson. Other than his wife, who's gorgeous, he's been a failure this year. He should be ashamed of himself. I'm going Russell Wilson in my failure of the year.
So I guess I'll go next.
Right, Kurt.
I chose Dan Snyder. I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Be better. That's it.
Those are all great options. This is just a real quick question for everyone. Have any of you guys heard of the Chiefs linebacker situation? It was brought up today in my accounting class about how he shot his girlfriend 10 times. I have no idea if this is an old story, a new story.
Hey, Carter, this was like breaking news 8 years ago.
That's what I thought. I joined the conversation the way through, and I just wanted to make sure like I didn't miss anything crucial. I didn't think I did, but I was just making sure. So I like the Dan Snyder nomination's great. He's a failure. The only thing he's ever been good at is making money, apparently, and who knows if he was born into it. I really do like the Russell Wilson. Brandon Staley is a failure, but I guess he made the playoffs, but he did blow that horrendous lead, and he's just a beta male. But I don't think he's worse than Russell Wilson. But I would like to bring a different nomination, a different human being to this Frenemies Failure of the Year. And, gentlemen, it's the new State Farm agent. It's Baker Mayfield, guys. I mean, he is just, it was just horrible. This entire year was just horrible. He has a new situation. He's right on the Baker Mayfield cycle. No pressure. All up, ready to prove doubters wrong. And it was just absolutely horrible in Carolina. And then he went to the Rams and he showed a glimpse. Like, he likes to show glimpse. He shows a little glimpse, a little flutter of light. And then it crashed and burned. It blew up. He was trying to water his little plant of growth and of consistency. And there's just a weed whacker. And sometimes it's a self. Sometimes he weed whacks his own plant. He was horrible. He will not start next year. Baker Mayfield, 100%, 110%. Especially after our last vote for Frenemy's Man of the Year, because now the show is just a complete joke.
After hearing your three nominations, I have switched my nomination. I'm ready to vote.
Real quickly, if we're just going to, you know, do stuff as we go here, I'm going to do a first. Ladies and gentlemen, the first ever double Frenemies nomination for Failure of the Year. I will be nominating Carter. And Jake and Hunter, please don't respond to this. Just give me a minute here. Deshaun Watson for my Frenemies Failure of the Year. 26 sexual assault cases. That's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. Zero game-winning drives in his debut. Zero touchdowns and an interception. He does not look like he's worth three first-round picks. He looks like he's worth 3 years in jail. Deshaun Watson is going to be my new nomination for the Failure of the Year. Because, you know, he looks like he's a really terrible person, okay? And then you trade three first-round picks for him. You give him $250 million, and he does nothing with it. He had a mediocre year at best. He looked like quarterback 16, 17 on the year. He looked average at best. And you know what he didn't do? Because I'm paying him $250 million, Carter.
I'll say this, Carter.
Deshaun Watson led zero game-winning drives. Baker Mayfield led a 98 yard game-winning drive within his first 3 days in a city with no timeouts.
You can't.
Very impressive. Very impressive. My Frenemies Failure of the Year is Deshaun, also known as Massage Watson. Thank you.
giving Baker Mayfield the keys to the starting quarterback role is like shooting yourself in the foot. It's like giving a gun to a
foot. Giving Deshaun Watson the keys to a massage parlor is like shooting yourself in the foot.
Wait, hold on. Just so I can confirm here. We currently have up for nomination Russell Wilson, Daniel Snyder, Baker Mayfield, and Deshaun Watson are the four candidates up for vote.
And now I will say this, Russell Wilson and Brandon Staley are the only ones who have never faced criminal charges.
Hunter's ready to vote. Carter, the only thing I have wrong to debate with him, if we did this award ceremony after week 9, when he got cut by the Panthers, I would have voted for you. However, he's now on the cycle where now people like him again because he looked okay with the Rams. Now
he's going to suck next year.
I agree.
Doing my mental health.
No, Carter, I agree.
My forehead vein bulge.
But life is all about time.
Jack's little smile where he's
Carter,
like,
Carter, I'm going to give you the most important thing you ever heard in life. Life is about timing. And due to the timing of this recording and the timing of Baker Mayfield's failures and success, I cannot support your Baker Mayfield vote.
And while we're on the list of quotes, I'm going to give you a quote from one of my heroes, Greg Hipp. Enjoy the journey. And I have enjoyed Baker Mayfield's journey. I can tell you a lot of people who have not enjoyed Deshaun Watson's journey.
I'm ready to vote. Let's go. Let's go to the polls.
Hazed in the lights. Here we go. We're 2023. Frenemy Sports Honors Award winner for Failure of the Year is Deshaun Watson.
Oh my fucking god. Oh my god. We're not even a real podcast. What are we doing?
What I've been told in my ear, I think you're on and
listen,
out
I'm gonna be honest.
The reason
he won. Prank.
The only
in
deal.
And out of the parlor.
This has to be a prank. Where are the cameras? Is there another
that
camera?
That is so well deserved. That is so well deserved.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. We're going to be known as the podcast that picks Watson to suck and he's going to leave the NFL pass.
The reason I'm
here.
Whoa. Off the field.
We picked a man that said what happened and Deshaun Watson played four games.
Excuse me. Last year, our failure of the year, both of them, Gruden and Ruggs, their failures came off the field.
Oh my god.
Carter, quiet.
Ruggs killed someone. Watson. Apparently.
It's because you
sexually assaulted.
You could not have said the worst year that Deshaun Watson did.
Oh my god. He watched. He didn't even have an off season in the facility. He didn't have an off season.
Carter, in this podcast, we have rules. Okay, we're not animals.
No, don't talk to me about rules.
We took a democratic vote. Okay, I cannot say who voted for who.
You flipped an imaginary coin and gave it to a citizen. What happened? You're pathetic. This is pathetic. I'm ashamed.
Rules and regulations that were signed and co-signed by all of us. And the rules were followed to AT.
The coin flip was never signed by me. I want you to look people in the camera and don't smile. Don't even crinkle your face. Just straight eyeball them and say, Carter Hip signed a paper that said this would go to coin flip.
Carter Hip signed a paper that this would go to coin flip.
Carter Hip signed a paper that this would go to coin flip.
5 seconds. You couldn't even do it either. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. It's inconceivable. I just want to say,
hold on, I'm getting worried here. Yep, sorry, Carter, your audio went out. Okay, sorry, rules are rules. I've been told you had to get muted. There's a connection issue with you, Carter. Sorry. Okay, that's the award show. Everyone, round of applause for yourselves. That was wonderful. Very proud of that. Any last thoughts here, Jackson? Any last thoughts?
I couldn't be happier. I think a lot of people won a lot of great awards. This is better than the actual NFL award show. A lot of great awards. Failure Man of the Year, James Rose, the doctor that saved DeMar Hamlin. You two are just sensational. Both of you are heroes in your own way, and we're very grateful for you. Failure of the Year, I couldn't be happier how that turned out. I wasn't even going to nominate him until Carter went on his little soliloquy. Karma's a bitch. It bites you in the back. Couldn't be happier. Could not be happier. No one is more of a failure than Deshaun Watson because he is a terrible person off the football field.
Yeah, to everyone who got an award tonight, be proud of it. You'll be getting, some sort of edit with you holding an award. This is a prestigious ceremony, and we're so glad we have it this year, and I'm already excited for next year. Gentlemen, that is the end of our 2023 FedMini Sports Honors Award Ceremony.
Well, actually, it's not. We have one more award, and this was unanimous. As voted on by the four members of Frenemies, the award for the Frenemies Editor of the Year. Ladies and gentlemen, Hayes Bubnick, unbelievable year editing. He is a wizard. He's had a phenomenal year. Nobody deserves this award more than him. Hayes, congratulations. Make sure you get that edit of yourself in there holding the Frenemies Honors Trophy. We're very proud of you, buddy.
Yeah, maybe the most well-earned. Just so people know, if you think it's like a team, like we all work as a team to edit these videos, it's not. It's a one-man wrecking crew, and it's Hayes. So yeah, that's very well-earned. Yeah, other than that, thank you for listening. We'll see you later.